what's to come. Orders, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've traveled over thousands of miles, over mountain, sea, and plain. You've made it to the meeting spot of poets from around the world. You've made it to World Poetry Open Mic. I'm your host, Mike Lamide. Here we are. We're almost hit. You know, we're getting closer and closer to being in our fifth year, JT.
Yes, we are.
At the end of November, we're going to have to throw one hell of a party. Maybe on the air.
Okay.
Maybe we'll just down a bunch of wine. No, I think that's a terrible idea.
That would probably be very terrible.
Yeah, it would be.
I think a lot of people want to hear us a little tipsy.
It's one of those things that sound like a good idea until you do it, and then it becomes like, it's my Hindenburg, you know, basically.
I used to do that in gaming.
Did you?
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
No.
Well, hey, the voice you're hearing is the gentleman to both my right and my left. This is the technical producer, the co-host, and I don't know, all-around lifesaver, Mr. JT Gunter. How are you, sir?
I'm good. It was an interesting week.
Yeah, it was.
Last night thrashed my voice, which is okay.
That's good. See, you thrashed your voice, and so I have to actually tell a few people who have tried to contact me this week, Dennis, you being one of them, I suddenly had something happen where I couldn't hear, and I've been dealing with a pretty serious kind of set of ear infections, and one's pretty much gone. The other one is really going crazy. So I apologize for being kind of out of touch, but I've been basically laid out and very good at covering it up on social media. I stand up and slug it out, and then I just, like, collapse. So I think I'm on the mend, but I'm only hearing with one ear. So this will be a good show tonight.
Mono.
Exactly.
Yay.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
thing they're voices.
Exactly, right? So this show, in case you're just joining us, helps poets from around the world share their poetry with the global audience. And I'm sure a lot of you have also listened before. I'm kind of looking in the chat room and seeing all kinds of familiar faces. So basically, we usually go into a first segment, but like I did last week, I'm going to go in quickly to just a This Week in Poetry kind of poetry segment here.
Awesome.
I'm just going to follow up on one story,
okay.
Just one today. Nothing right. huge happened, but the five students for the National Student Poets Program were announced on the 9th.
Oh, all okay. right. Okay.
So which is pretty cool, right? So these are the class of 2016 National Student Poets. It says Stella Binion, she's 17, she's from Illinois. Maya Ishwaran, who we mentioned last week, she's 17,
yeah.
she's from Georgia. Gopal Raman, age 17 of Texas, Joey Riceberg, age 17 of Maryland, and Maya Selma, age 16 from California.
Okay.
And it's pretty cool. I mean, it's a whole ceremony at the end here. There's the honorary chairman is First Lady Michelle Obama, who's done a lot for poetry.
That she has.
Over the last few years, his whole administration.
Yeah.
And they've actually done the thing like the White House poetry jams. There's been multiple ones
yep.
and some great stuff there. So congratulations to all of them. And we just wanted to announce their names. That's a big accomplishment, I would think, at that age.
Absolutely.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, you know what? Before I get into the rules, what did you get to do last night? I'm jealous about this. In the best possible way, I'm jealous of this.
All right. So, I got to go to the Bronco game last night.
Yeah.
And Broncos against the Carolina Panthers for football. And
great game.
I thoroughly thrashed my voice because I was overjoyed and elated to watch that battle.
Yeah.
It was really intense. There were obviously everybody's going to say, well, they got cheated on this or whatever. It either way, competition of football alone, that battle on that field is intense. And to have 76,000 people rooting for the same thing is really electrifying, energizing, and loud.
Yeah.
I'm impressed I can actually hear today without the constant ringing in my ear.
But, I can imagine.
So it's good stuff. It was really good.
That's wonderful. And, you know, we're a poetry show. We're not a football show. But I got to say, 1-point win
by
a missed field goal at the end. That's fantastic.
That is some football.
That's exactly. All right, let's move on. So here are the rules. No hate speech. We do a segment. We need 5 unique callers. Then once we fill up our 5, we'll let you know if we can get to you on the phone. Otherwise, you'll see in the chat room. If you haven't gotten in, just wait for the next turn and so on. We also are going to have a round table discussion this evening, which will be about the idea and the necessity of shutting off all distractions to do your work. And some of the ideology behind that. So that should be interesting. And then we're going to have a return engagement where everybody can call back in. So let's start with segment number 1. Give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That number again, 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call. And we're back in the Hall of Justice. Did we ever leave the Hall of Justice?
I don't think we ever do.
I feel like Steve from New York lives in the Hall of Justice all the time.
He you know what? He might. He's pretty busy.
Frontier Justice brought to New York. All right. So we have 5 great poets lined up. I'm really looking forward to this. But before we get to that, we're going to do a submission. And this one was sent from Steve Junka, but it's not his.
Oh.
This is from his 19-year-old granddaughter.
Oh, nice.
And Brianna. And just a P afterwards with a period. I don't really know what the last name is.
Okay.
This is from Brianna, called The Color Green. I have always loved the color green and how it makes me feel serene. How when I just but step outside, it's all that can be seen. I feel the ground, and all around there's grass beneath my feet. It travels on for miles till the sky it seems to meet. I never could walk past a tree or neath its graceful limbs, but first to stop and ponder if it shares my wild whims. It seems as though it longs to stay, and yet it longs to go. The way it up and out grows, the way it up and outward grows, but roots itself below. I too am like the tree, the grass. I am the color green. Content with where I am, and soon I'll grow to sights unseen. And that's The Color Green by Brianna, who is Mr. Steve Jonka's 19-year-old granddaughter. Great job, Brianna.
Yeah.
And thank you for submitting. So if you're listening to the show, you haven't submitted and you want to, you just send it through the contact form on our webpage or to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. That's about that.
That's pretty simple.
All right, let's go home. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
All right.
All right. So we're heading into our first segment. Let's go first to the Mitten State, to one of our longest supporters, someone we appreciate so much. Dennis, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Dennis, there's that voice. And you know what's interesting? Next week at this time, we'll be hanging out.
Yes, we will. I'm looking forward to it, my friend.
Yeah, as am I. We both are. JT looked at me and was like, wow, that came fast.
It's really fast.
That's going
right.
to be great.
That's gonna right. Be... Boy, we're going to have an adventure next week.
That's it. We're looking forward to it.
It's going to be great.
We hope so. That'll be the adventure, making it that. No, it will be wonderful. We'll be great. It'll be a great time.
Oh, absolutely. When poets get together, it always is.
I think so. I think so for sure. So what do you have?
And throw in the musicians, it's twice the fun.
We hope so. I grew up around musicians. I have that theory about 80% of the time.
Well, we'll round that off to the high end, so it's all good.
There you go. Perfect. So what do you have for us this week?
Well, I have a poem. The title is The Caterpillar Kingdom.
Ah, sounds good. All right, take it away.
Yeah. All right. In the Caterpillar Kingdom, there is purpose and there is order. But danger lurks, and we'll lose some. Hungry birds trespass our border. Vigilant, we keep on munching on the verdant vegetation. Despite the threat of bird brunching, we endure for perseverance, for preservation, sorry about that, for our dreams and aspirations to one day sleep in our cocoons and wake up in transformation, freed from this earthbound gloom. We'll emerge with wings of glory and sup on nectar fit for gods. Then we'll start a brand new story, get respect with approving nods. End of poem.
Always right on the mark. Great job, Dennis. Thank you again.
Thank you. And I just can't wait for next week, but I guess I'll have to. But it's going to be a wonderful time. And I thank you so much for the invitation. And it's going to be a pleasure meeting you all.
Yeah, it's going to be a pleasure. Yeah. We're so excited about it.
We are. I may be lost on what day of the week it is, but
I'll let you know. Remind you. And this
sounds
is also probably a good time to remind everybody listening to the show, we're not doing the show next Friday.
No.
We're doing Posick Fest for a tune to about, what, 4 hours, 5 hours on Saturday.
Yeah.
And if you want more information on that, go to posickfest.com. posickfest.com. All right.
Well, thank you again, and I'll step aside and let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'll say, as I usually do, God bless.
Hey, thanks so much, Dennis. God bless you. Well, that was Dennis from the Mitten State, keeping us warmed up. That was a weird reference.
That's,
I don't know.
No,
should I just not do that?
Not that one.
Should I stick with the States one?
They're a little cooler than us.
They are a little, but that's why they got the mittens. That's what I figured. I didn't figure they had the mittens because it was
just
Florida.
The United States just going.
Yeah, no, it's because you get sweaty when you're wearing mittens. That's why I figured Florida was the mitten state.
Wow.
Okay. Oh. All right, that's for Michigan, just to clarify. So let's go to a place where the where it's warm, where the salmon instinctively flock, or where poets instinctively flock like the salmon of Capistrano. Let's go and join Barbara in Connecticut.
Hey.
Hi, how are you? We missed you last week.
Yes. I stayed with my daughters. I haven't had a good week.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I was resting up because on Thursday I did a stupid thing and I actually blacked out and fell from my chair.
Oh,
ouch.
Yes. And I'm diabetic, so I should have eaten. I took a shower and I, got woozy and came in and tried to get some food and didn't get enough. And then my daughters came home and said, oh, you have to go to the hospital, even though I felt fine. But I did cut my leg and I did have a bump on my head. And I went to the hospital. And they checked me all out. I was fine, but they found that they thought maybe there was something wrong with my heart. Mm. So they kept me overnight and gave me an echocardiogram and stress test, chemical stress test.
Oh, the one I went through. So now you've been through it, too.
Oh, the chemical stress test. Oh, I didn't get sick. But
you didn't get sick?
No.
Did they wrap you up in a burrito thing?
Yes. Yes.
It's a stress burrito. That's what I call it.
Yes. Horrible.
Yeah. It is horrible.
I had the thing on my leg, and that wasn't helping. It wasn't really healing. They had put some kind of glue on it and these strips, and I thought it would heal, but it didn't heal. And when I got home about 2 days later, it got infected, so now I'm taking antibiotics. It's just a whole
That's a long
mess
week,
of
Barbara.
Garbage that happened because of my stupidity.
Well, no, I'm going to break that up because I've had things happen, too, where I suddenly think it's because I'm being stupid or whatever. The reality is we all have health issues. It's not because you're stupid. It's because we're human, and we are so thankful that you're here with us. We're sorry to hear that. But we wish you the most speedy recovery. We love having you call in, and we don't think you're stupid at all. So don't worry about that.
Thank you. You know, you never can forgive yourself for doing that stupid, you know, stuff.
Yeah, I know. So, I get it.
Yeah, but I learned a lot of things about myself. First, I could get up. That was good.
That's a good thing.
And second, that, you know, that I can withstand that horrible stress test stuff. And that my heart is okay, and my head is okay. So.
Well, and I know that you and I can now talk about the chemical stress test, because it's not the worst thing that's ever been done to me, for sure, as far as medically.
No.
But, you know, it is definitely kind of comedic when you talk about it after the fact, but it's not when it happens.
It's the thing that they give you for the photos that's the worst. It makes you give that bitter taste, and ugh.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't like that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, it's good to know that you're okay, and I hope you were okay.
Oh, well, I'm okay. I'm okay at the moment. There was a moment there this last weekend where I couldn't hear at all.
And
so that really scared me. So I can hear out of my left ear. My right ear still sounds like I'm in a swimming pool with a really high-pitched noise ringing and never stops.
No.
But you know, it'll get better.
The ringing stuff. My brother has that.
Yeah. Well, I'm a musician. You know how it goes.
Anyway, so I'm not sure if I read this to you about the pearls. Did I read the pearl poem?
I vaguely think I recall it, but you know what? It might have been you telling us about it. Just go ahead and do it, Barbara. We're happy to listen to it.
You want to hear that, or I have a new one?
Well, either one. I mean, if you want to call us for the return engagement, read either one. Just choose it and go. Either way is fine.
I'll read the new one first.
Okay,
it's called It Was for Pum Kubali. And it was called, we had to use the words congeal and haunting. And mine is called Changing a Congealed Mind by Haunting. When you are young, your thoughts are easy and flowing. You barely have opinions, and you live in an ever-changing, formless world where nothing is really settled or set. Your thoughts spiral back and forth as you add and subtract. Information flows into and out of your head. You are elastic and keep expanding as your world expands. Your thoughts are a river that flows through and waters the life you live with practically no thought at all. Everything is of the moment, and you veer from one thing to another as a bee to a flower. Your thoughts begin to form as if they were gelatin. And as they form, some of us arrive at the last stage way too soon. Your thoughts congeal like finished gelatin, and there's no way to change anything about them. But your youth keeps haunting you as more thoughts try to find their place inside this mess. You are an old person in a young body. You have allowed your thoughts to congeal too fast. There is no room for any new ones, and you grow older as the mass finds only fear and hatred will fill in the spaces. Then there are the others, whose thoughts do not congeal at a young age, and who are not part of the haunting of youthful adventures. They have kept theirs viscous and open to the ever-changing patterns that settle around each person, and they don't need to worry about the idea of congealed thoughts in a mass in their brain. Theirs are loose and free and allow new ones to add to the ones already there. They are not the ones youth is haunting, for they do not need to fill in the cracks with hatred and fear. Their heads are kept clear, and they roam the world with an open and inquiring mind, aware that there are those with their minds full of gelatin, with congealed thoughts, and armed with fear and hatred. To counteract those with gelatin and congealed thoughts, it is important to engage these hardened minds and try to find the cracks where hatred and fear have lodged. For these cracks are porous, and if you try, you can soften the spaces, and new thoughts of a more appealing kind have a place to rest in this gelatin mind. Don't be haunted by or disturbed by the fleeing fear and hatred as they fly from the congealed brain. If you leave gelatin out long enough, it will soften and turn to liquid. And so too will the thoughts of these imprisoned people. As they realize there is more to life than the thoughts they cemented into their brains as a young person. And now they are able to interchange thoughts as the river they once had as a youth returns. And you are part of this change as you continue to engage with new thoughts, not tinged with fear or hatred, but imbued with the power of hope and love. And these redefined people will realize the thoughts that were haunting them all this time have at last been able to get through and join the flowing river of their unlocked minds. End poem.
I really enjoyed that piece.
That was a really good piece.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you.
I know you've had a rough week, but I think, you know, it's one of those things that I've noticed as a poet or as a songwriter. I will go to whatever length to write something that I really feel strongly about. And then it doesn't matter what's going on. Sometimes it's hard to get it through, but when something really comes up, you'll put the time in and get it done because you're feeling it pull at you. And I kind of sense that with this piece.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of late doing it because I didn't get a chance to do it for a while. And, you know, it came out late and it was... It's all, you know, just tied up with everything that I've been thinking lately, that so many people have these, you know, like hardened minds. They just, you can't get through to them, you know?
Yeah, we're aware. We're aware of that. All right. Well, hey, Barbara, we have Diane. We need to call her. Call accidentally dropped. So I'm going to have you sign up.
But yes, you call Diane. Back? Definitely. I'm getting off.
Okay.
Looking
Thank
forward
you.
To the return engagement. Barbara, yes. You're awesome.
Okay,
Thank
yes.
you so much.
Okay.
Thank All right.
You. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Now, Diane, if you're listening, I also put it in the chat room. There she is. We're going to go live. We're going to take it live. PT's Gourmet. Diane, I'm playing with you. It's Michael. I figured I better say something before you hang up on me.
That would have been funny if she hang up on you just because you're messing
you
around.
You are bad.
Well, I almost answered it by saying orange Jell-O, but I figured that would have been even weirder.
Hey.
How are you, Diane?
I'm just teasing you.
Fair enough. What?
Huh?
Yeah, I don't know. What is this? You've joined the question show. I don't know. What? This is good radio, Diane. That's what this is. All right. So, what do you have for us?
Something real short.
I'm going to resist saying following that up because this is not an After Dark segment. Let's go for it.
Okay, just to let you know, this week on Poem Kabili, I wound up writing a poem that garnered a lot of attention. It was based on a job interview I had last week with an old gentleman that turns out to have Alzheimer's. So I actually read it and recorded it and timed it, and it was over 4 minutes, and I thought, that's a bit long. So I actually went back to all my old poetry, and I discovered one that I wrote very similar to it.
Okay.
I don't know how long ago it's short. It's called Bondage. Let me know when you want me to start. Oh, okay. Bondage. I'm ready. She can't even hear anymore. Her throat has gone so dry. The only noise she makes sounds like the rattle of old paper left on a vessel, which holds a piece of abandoned bric-a-brac, not pretty enough to sell at a jumble. She likes to draw pretty letters and flurries with heavy punction. Anything to try to hide the lack of words, of verbiage, of becoming. Can you hear me? Can you all hear
me? Okay. Hey, Diane, if you can hear us.
Yes.
Diane, can you hear us? Diane?
Yes, I can hear you.
Your cell phone is cutting out like crazy, and we can't hear it. Are you able to, a little bit later in the show, we'll make sure you have a spot. Are you able to call in on Skype by chance?
I don't know what's going on. Can you hear me now?
Well, we can hear little bits of it, but then it'll cut out and kind of. It's we were missing so much of your poetry.
I'm going to reboot. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on.
Okay, so if you reboot and give us a call between, so we still have Mary and Philip in the segment, and so after Philip, if you want to try to give us a call,
okay,
we'll try to see if we can make it work then. Okay, so you'll still be in the same segment.
All right.
Do your best. We'll talk to you soon. Okay. All right. Thank you. That was Diane. Technical difficulties. You know, Skype. Sometimes I feel like we should break up. All right. So, Diane, we're going to try to make that up at the end of this segment.
Okay.
And I think we should just try to go to Mary.
Okay.
Who likes to serenade us. I'm looking forward to that. Mary, are you there?
I'm here.
Did we surprise you? I know we kind of changed on a dime there.
I have to throw some pants on.
That's okay. We never wear pants doing the show. We're like Sean Connery making movies.
You know, I'm going out with a girlfriend, and she said to wear jeans. And I'm 55, and I got to do some more of those butt crunches my daughter teach me before I wear a pair of jeans out.
I hear that it works. If you do like 10 butt crunches right before you go out, that's the best results you're going to get.
It may make you feel better, but the pictures show 1,000 words, baby, 1,000.
I just want to do butt crunches, so if someone ever tries to kick me in the butt, they break their foot. I'll have iron butt.
That's my goal.
Yeah.
Come on, Andy.
It's kung fu.
Come on.
It's kung fu, what it is.
Okay, this is Bathroom Break for those who don't like songs. And this is a lovely little tune by the Righteous Brothers. They actually made it popular. It was written by Alex North and lyrics by Hi Zareth. I make sure I say that now because lyricists are very important in my life. All right, here we go.
I need you to
There we go.
Oh, sorry, I was singing along. All right, that was great.
That's a wrap. That's a wrap, boys. Onward and upward.
That's a wrap?
That's a wrap.
With a W or an R?
Oh, anything you want to do, baby, but it was more of the W part.
All right,
it was the W part.
That was great. That was great. Are you going to go out and have fun tonight?
I'm going to go and try to have a really good time and see some musicians. I usually jam with them. Do a little hoogie-hoogie and come home. It's all good.
Have a great time and stay away from those musicians. They're no good. All right.
Poets are much more dangerous and dark, baby.
That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard.
Nighty-night, boys.
All right. Good night. Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And that was Mary bringing sweet tunes to our ears from Arizona. I have literally never said that sentence in my life. That little rat pack there for a second.
A little odd.
My finger started feeling a little heavy. I felt like I had a thumb ring on. It was weird. All right. Now we're going to go to the
Memorial Prison's unique circumstances.
Uh-oh.
We're going to head to the state that brought us the enamel bathtub.
That's right.
It's Kentucky, and it's Philip. Philip, how are you, sir?
I'm drinking bathtub gin. So
are you really? Say. Man,
no,
that makes two of us.
I'm just trying to play along with the segue, sir.
That's a weird segue, I know.
No, it's great. I'm happy with any segue, so cheers, you know.
Well, you know, and the best part about that, as weird as that segue was, it's actually accurate. So,
I believe it. Yeah. I don't doubt it. I never underestimate Kentucky, and nor should you, sir.
No, and I don't. I'm still a little frightened about the idea.
United we stand, divided we fall, or so our flag says.
Well, then that means it's like a mission statement.
I suppose the mission statement of Kentucky. More like running horses, playing basketball, and drinking bourbon. That really should be the motto. But
man, you imagine putting all those together, Kentucky could create their own sport.
Yeah, right.
Drunken equine
no
basketball. Yeah, amazing.
And I'm sorry to hear about your aching ears, sir.
Thank you.
Had a few myself, and I know that they are painful. And I really appreciate you braving it on and being here tonight.
Oh, of course, of course. This,
JT.
Yeah, JT has to. The affliction JT has to deal with is me in here with the ear problem. Like, oh, my ear. That's the affliction he's going through right now.
And he's a patient man. Even for having an umlaut above his name.
You know that the people with umlauts in their name are not notoriously patient. I agree, but he is.
Thank you.
All right, what do you got for us?
I've got a new one that I finished yesterday, and I'll just go right to it.
Sounds good.
All right, sounds good. Get her done.
Get her done.
Get her done. All right, here we go. Short title, Aloft on Wings Dreamt. Here we go. Enraptured by holy mania, wandering through dread no different than uncharted lands, alone in the fleeting gloam, unaware of days or seasons. Accustomed to delusional states, I'm familiar enough, though each turmoil presents unique circumstances. Chasing after moon cycles and fugue horizons, just to avoid the quotidian, wrap my somber limbs in dreams the way mother did my childhood, with hand-me-down winter coats. Expectations that exceed possibility, I've not yet grown into those ideas, hemmed or tattered by misunderstanding. Probably wired wrong in the head, because though it is irrational, I find myself back in the garden before human voices broke silence open with provocative doubt and arrogant noise. Even if I believed in nothing, hearing people drone on at prolix length about themselves makes me yearn for the one I cannot name, whether real or imagined. Strange unanswerables for a man of David's small stature among giants, whose corporate shadows engulf reason and simple goodwill. Truly, non compos mentes, believing information has the best likelihood for being moved forward and backward through temporal mediums. Proleptically glimpsed images shuffled in a deck by entropy. Ancient ones from the future afar, pointing steadfast toward the divine, mistaken for what some call myth. And there it is, fellers.
Great job, Philip, as always.
I appreciate that, sir.
That's it always kind of brings another level to a show, and we always appreciate it. Thanks so much for always being there and giving us a call.
Oh, not a problem. Thank you. And I hope Diane gets through on the Skype call.
Yeah, I hope so also, huh? Well, if it doesn't work this time, we'll do it next segment. We'll try to make it work.
Next segment. All right, good. And good luck for next week, too. And I'll look forward to the return engagement and the roundtable discussion.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Hopefully that'll work out, huh? All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Philip. Bye. That was Philip giving us a call from Kentucky. Strangely, here's a fact that I didn't know about Kentucky, but a tie-in with Denver.
Okay.
Kalen's Restaurant in Louisville claims to have invented the cheeseburger in 1934.
Yeah.
Although a Denver drive-in called Humpty Dumpty's patented it a year later. So basically what we're trying to say is bring it on, Philip. No. Great job. You know, any completely arbitrary competition. That's what we're all about here in the United States, right?
Completely arbitrary.
Arbitrary competition.
Matters all right. not.
Yeah, so let's Diane, let's try it again here. Try to give us a call. I see you in the chat room. I know you can see me. Let's try it.
Let's hope she can.
We'll see. Now, in the meantime,
yes.
I'm going to stall by acting like I'm about to say something very important. But instead, I won't really be doing that. I'll just be waiting until we can bring Diane live. Diane, are you there?
Am I?
Are any of us really?
I mean, can you hear me?
I can hear you for now. So if it starts going again, I'll let you know. I just don't want to.
Okay.
I don't want you to think you did a great job and have a great read like I've done before, and then suddenly go, wait a second, no one heard
and
that.
And have it be totally bad.
Yeah. See, that just wouldn't be good for anybody, huh? So
no, sir.
Let's give it another try.
Okay. This poem is entitled Bondage. She cannot even whisper anymore. Her throat has gone so dry. The only noise she makes sounds like the rattle of old paper left on a dusty shelf, which holds a piece of abandoned bric-a-brac, not pretty enough to sell at a jumble sale. She likes to draw pretty letters and thirdly, with heavy punctuation, anything to try the lack of words of verbiage of becoming. She stopped becoming a long time ago. It just took a while for the tape to rewind, long enough for her to forget she had, stopped like an old-fashioned wristwatch someone forgot to wind. She holds the pen just so, uses the other hand to shield the paper. She falls asleep easily, but when anyone approaches, she starts awake again and the sound of the pen scratching against paper starts up again. She sits in the sunlight in the garden, small.
Oh,
bring it back on.
Yeah, it's on.
Oh, boy. Diane.
Right there.
Diane, I don't think you can hear me. We just lost you entirely here.
Yeah.
We're going to try to make this work. I'm so sorry, Diane. It's not on our end. I'm not sure what we can do here. But let's keep trying. If we can get you in next segment, return engagement, I don't care. Let's try to make it work, okay? But once again, I'm so sorry for cutting you off. I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste our listeners' time either.
Yeah.
And let's try to get this through. I think now I'm really, really waiting for the payoff here. The suspense is killing me. What happens in a poem called Bondage? That could be a poem itself. I know, we're so close. Does she get free? Is she stuck forever? We'll never know until we get this figured out.
Okay.
So we have to. But since that didn't work out, we're going to move on to the next segment. But before I do,
Yeah.
I have another two clues for our mysterious poet of the month. Now, can I tell you, JT, remember how we talked about how we're going to let people know what our poet of the month is?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to send it out to our email list on our site. Now, if you don't have that, that's okay. If you're not on the email list yet, that's okay. Just send us an email at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com and say, I want to be on the list. That's cool. We'll send it out that way. And we promise we're never going to sell anything. We're not going to spam you and I. We're going to be crazy. We just want to make sure that if we want to send out an email to everybody who's a part of the family here, we can get to you pretty easily, okay? So it's not through Facebook, because who knows? Facebook might change the rules. You never know. So if you're not on the list, send us an email, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Or if you are on the list, just wait, and we will send it out next weekend.
Are we doing that next weekend?
Next weekend. Third, and then that means we have an extra the next week, the very last week of the month. Should you choose to read something from that poet of the month, you're encouraged to bring it.
All right.
That gives you a week to do it, okay?
Okay.
So here are the two clues. His obituary in the New York Times described him as a descendant of the Romantic visionaries.
Okay.
That's one. The other one is he worked at a post office and perhaps wrote a book about it afterwards. Some of you should know who that is. Those are our clues. Now let's head into our second segment.
Okay.
Give us a call. We need five more unique. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back.
And we are back. As you might notice, we have some different recordings and liners playing this evening. We had to knock those out this week. I think it was a good thing, too.
Yeah, it was good.
But it's like the week before Posick Fest, everything's just getting kind of crazy. I have a huge performance.
Yes, you do.
We're at the choir of children, starting from third grade to sixth grade, are performing for the 50th anniversary of the school where I teach.
That's great.
For the Archbishop himself. Ooh. The Archbishop himself. And so there's been a lot of preparation. So we can, you know, kind of move on. Let's go to the poetry here. You know, basically that's what this is all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Usually.
I'm going to read one.
All right.
And this one as a kind of a submission. Although, you know what? We honestly don't have another submission from a caller, but I'm going to read a special one.
Okay.
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 This one is called At Verona. See if you can tell me who this is. How steep the stairs within kings' houses are for exile-wearied feet as mine to tread. And oh, how salt and bitter is the bread which falls from this hound's table. Better far that I had died in the red ways of war, or that the great gate of Florence bare my head, than to live thus by all things comraded, which seek the essence of my soul to mar. Curse God and die. What better hope than this? He hath forgotten thee in all the bliss of his gold city and eternal day. Nay, peace. One moment. Nay, peace. Behind my prison's blinded bars, I do possess what none can take away, my love and all the glory of the stars. That, despite that little interruption there in the middle, was by Oscar Wilde.
Ah,
at Verona,
okay.
But also speaking quite a bit about some stuff that my ancestors were very, very heavily involved in back in the day in old Italy. All right. So, speaking of Europe, let's go to one of our European friends, one of our great friends, a great friend of the show, and a poet we always love to hear from. It's Titus. Titus, are you there?
I am. Good morning from me and good evening to you, sir.
good morning to you.
I hope I'm coming over clear anyway.
Very clearly. Crystal. You sound great.
Brilliant. Oh, I have to say the poetry I've heard is pretty good today. I loved Dennis's. It was brilliant.
There was some really good stuff tonight. Yeah.
Sorry for the favoritism. Yeah, I've got a poem. I've been writing small rites just lately. This one is called Limelight Beyond the Frieze. It's putting myself in Turner's place, the painter Turner, and the painting is Fisherman at Sea. So I've put myself in his place. A satchel sketch of sea thought up today, like monochrome from years ago. Instead, effulgent rays urge ormolu widespread. The gypsy toast effect shows vast outlay. Gypsum encrusted how reflective clouds do hone each trait across beyond a frieze. Their wanderlust conveys my plea, it shrouds. Mood glade glimpses, the gaze itself mistook the stow. Reflecting Eve's shadow retrieves organdy, heavenly light called stroma. I've sensed balletic movement, one believes lithium is urged to serve the bright chroma. Depth features, overflowing paint employs nurturing the sea foam, absence turquoise. And that's it, sir, a sonnet.
Wonderful work as always, sir.
Short and sweet.
That's
and of course, this time in the morning, the softer voice because someone next door is asleep and I can't really shout all that loud.
I understand.
Okay. So that's why I'm always softly.
It's perfect. And by the way, a happy late anniversary to you as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, it was very good.
I was noticing that on social media. I was so happy to see so.
Oh, every anniversary we can find is a good reason to celebrate.
That's very true. Very true.
Always look for the positive. Anyways,
that's
lovely
it.
To get you.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. And thanks again for calling. We always love your work so much and we'll miss hearing it next week, but we will be, we'll be broadcasting. So, we hope you get a chance to listen in a little bit. If you can get some time away.
Yes, I've missed a couple, so I'll probably do that. Thank you.
All right, wonderful. All right, thank you so much, Titus.
Bye.
All right, so across the ocean. That was Titus. So now I feel like we should go all the way to our friend Jim. Jim in PA. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. I think I'm feeling a little bit like the walking wounded right now, but I think JT's holding us together.
Sorry, you wouldn't be. Sorry, you know what that was.
Yes, that I make that sound in my head most of the day. I actually have to tell you.
I've been driving my coworkers nuts with that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so one guy, he threw a glove ball into the trash can and said, well, you go get it. You're the last one to touch it. Start with dark side, that is. You don't know, go for it. And I've been doing that for the past day or two.
They're like, eventually, enough with the Yoda voice, enough!
Listen, all right, I'll stop doing it now, but why do you want me to do it? And they'll ask me a question. Why do you keep asking me questions? I don't know how to answer to you.
Or you just and then after they get really angry at you at the last second, be like, "I am the last dragon."
Hi, Georgie. Would you like a balloon? They float. They all float. Or if I want to come up with the weather, Richard, why do you gotta be like that after everything I've done to you?
Right.
Yeah, I just said. I have a whole mess of them that I just try and freak people out
That's wonderful.
You cannot run. You cannot hide. Just no matter where you go, I'll be waiting for you.
Jim, I love it. You're my kind of insane, man.
So, yeah.
What do you got for us this week? What do you got for us?
It's a poem. It's a short poem that I did quite a while, a few years back.
Okay.
It's called Wildflower.
Oh, sounds great.
So, wildflower. She is the wildflower, golden and lovely, blooming in the garden of his delight. Her meadow charms have softened his stone heart,
ashen from years wandering the wastelands, stumbling on the rocks of unrequited love. End of poem.
You know, it's kind of cool. There's the short and sweet, and then there's the short and tight. And I think that last one falls really under the second category. That was great.
Yeah, I can't even remember exactly when I wrote it. I have it copied down with the dates. I just remember where my notebook it is.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. It's interesting. We all have such different ways of doing things. It's always great to hear and learn, you know. I don't really put dates on things. I used to, but I don't anymore. Mostly because I'm just trying to push out content all the time. So I'm like, let's just get it on. We'll just get it down the assembly line. But we'll talk about that later in the roundtable.
Oh, I did it March 30th of 2010.
Oh, all right.
I just found it in my notebook.
Right on. Well, hey, Jim, thanks so much for everything you do for the show. Thanks so much for calling. We always love hearing your work.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Anytime. All right. Yep. We'll see you in the return engagement, hopefully.
All right. We'll try.
All right. Bye-bye. Have a great night. Thanks. And that was Jim in PA, or Jim Rothline. He's done some great work for us. Now, let's go to a state that has one of my favorite kinds of pizza. Now, Steve, don't say anything. I love New York pizza style first, but nearly dear to my heart is Chicago-style pizza. And the only tie into that is that Cindy's in Illinois. Cindy, are you there?
I'm here. Let me turn my speaker down.
Fair enough.
I am here.
All right.
And by Chicago, but pizza is all sausage here, and I like pepperoni.
Oh, I see. What? No, you don't happen to be anywhere near Crystal Lake, do you?
Crystal Lake is quite a bit north of where I'm at.
Oh, really? I play in a group that at one point had three people from Crystal Lake, Illinois, in it here in Denver, and then everywhere we went, we keep finding more and more people from Crystal Lake.
Well, you know, Chicago is funny, or the Chicago area. There's all kinds of stuff up here. There's open mic. I don't know. You can go wherever you want to go. I kind of favor Wheaton. It's a weird little small town. But a church has like a gallery of just artists. It's not even necessarily poetry. It's just artists in general.
Yeah.
So do you understand what I'm saying? It's just like weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it, for sure. Well, Cindy, so since you come from right around that area, what do you got for us?
I have a poem, and I usually write dark, and this one's not. There's a story behind it, and it's a vignette.
All right.
There is a story behind it. My significant other once asked me to write a poem about him. I don't really write that way. I write whatever comes out. He got a really dark poem. This one maybe is about him, and maybe what I should have wrote. And it's called Dragon's Breath. One, him. He brought me flowers and love showers. 22 years of commitment, weapons of guilt, practicality, consistent. And then you bring a riot of daisies in every hue. My own personal rainbow and air freshener, too. Sometimes scarlet roses of passion, hugged an angel's breath of compassion. So delicate, fragile, and alive, but only for a moment in time. Two, me, a dragon, mystical beast. That singes in fire everything it sees, larger than life, armored in scales. Nothing penetrates that chainmail. Colored in green jealousy, spiked flick of tail, my specialty. A burning breath of death ending in emptiness. It is who you see, but only shades of me. Three, us. a favorite old threadbare shirt, see-through, entwined, an extension of thoughts combined, an anchor that holds us in life, difficult to destroy with serrated knife. The bling that glitters in the night sky, passion tumbling as life passes by. The jigsaw piece who interlocks and bolsters me when crossed. My soulmate in scenes, because you love me in waking dreams. 4. Result. The dragon's mirage I personified, so need and insecurity can hide. A newborn infant swaddled in dependency does not become me. Like a cockroach, it breeds, multiplying in greed. In the night, coming to light, when alone, all rationality flown. Because you love me, he knows what you see. Something I can't control, the kiss of death. I killed it, I know. It was something I can't control. End of poem.
I enjoyed that very much. I know JT did as well.
Yes, I did. It was good.
Yeah, it's a little different for me.
Well, that's a good thing, right? You got to step outside of your comfort zone. If you do the same thing over and over again.
I'm trying to do that.
Good. Well, you did it well. You did a very good job here. It served you well.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. That was Cindy giving us a call from Illinois. The land of the pizza that Steve hates so much.
Wow.
Well, we're going to Steve. I figure we can make this work.
Okay. Well,
I'm buying you time, though. I'm not trying to jump to
something. No, I know you aren't. It's okay.
All right.
So I appreciate it. So,
Are we ready? Should we go to New York to... I feel a cold wind blowing. It could only mean Steve is with us.
Belated birthday, Michael.
Happy belated birthday to you, Steve.
Thank you.
How was it?
I hope all is well with you gentlemen who are hiding in the Hall of Justice. I know absolutely nothing about.
We come to the Hall of Justice basically to hide, because once we leave here, we feel like there is no such thing as justice, except for in New York and any courtroom that you're in, Steve.
Yes, if you know nothing about, or if you believe there is no justice anywhere, then obviously you have appeared in the New York court.
I can imagine Steve, the frustration.
Steve, you definitely... I'm sorry, Steve, go ahead.
No, after you, JD.
I was going to say, you definitely need to read up on some Daredevil or watch the series. So, that's some interesting New York justice.
Yes, but unfortunately the judges get really pissed off if you use a blind man's cane to beat the living crap out of a witness on the stand.
Well, yeah. I'm sure.
That was my whole legal strategy.
No, you can pound the facts and you can pound the law, but they get upset if you pound the witness.
Well, that sounds like something they
teach you in fancy law schools.
No, that's what you learn in your first trial.
Oh, okay.
As you are being dragged out of the courtroom by the court officer.
Not even law school, I see. It's just experience.
Yes. The theory being everyone's made that same mistake. Learn it on your own time.
I can imagine.
All right.
Speaking of mistakes,
yeah.
Chicago pizza.
I said it's second to the New York pizza.
He did.
Yes, but that is much like saying there is Bob Dylan.
Uh-huh.
And then there is everybody else.
Okay, so it's like saying everybody else. Yeah.
New York pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is Dreck.
Okay.
I got to say, I have to say I agree with it. I agree with it.
Some of which comes from the shore of Lake Michigan.
Oh, really? I've never had Michigan pizza. I have gone from...
No, Lake.
Oh, Lake Michigan. Oh, yeah. Okay. Very
totally different,
different
spot. Yeah.
Very different. I have gone from New York pizza to California pizza and felt so ripped off, I considered calling a lawyer.
And you didn't call me?
Well, I didn't know you at the time. Those are mistakes of my youth, Steve. I don't make them anymore.
You have boring mistakes of your youth.
I was trying to minimize my downside. Okay, all right, fair enough.
But also, you are young. Well, so that's... Anyway, before one of us admits to things that might be felonies in 43 different states, a poem for the evening.
Wonderful.
Right.
This could explain why I no longer frequent places I used to frequent.
All right.
It is entitled, For Suzanne, Wherever She May Wander. And I apologize in advance if my voice gets weird. The camels have been causing hacking lately. For Suzanne, wherever she may wander. Friday nights in Healy's bar as pinball games cast flickering mock candlelight in the sacred midnight darkness of beer and chaser benediction. I slid quarters down the slot, softly singing along for the good times, a moving hymn of endings on endless replay, while the amber and the gold stood side by side like poisoned lovers on the mahogany, the whiskey taste of sadness and the beer of faded days, with sepia reflections in the dusty funhouse mirror of eternal resurrection, I drank with your memory as my heart danced with your ghost. End.
Now, Steve, first of all, I love that very much. There's something, it's something really interesting is that I know that even though we're, you know, in totally different parts of the country, there is an Irish Catholic kind of just essence that I hear so clearly in your work that I grew up around. And
much like what they said of the IRA apologies to Tony, once in, never out.
Yeah.
It's Catholic grade school, Catholic high school.
Yeah.
You can leave the church, but the church never leaves you.
Well, that's true. And, you know, now I went right back into a Catholic school last year. I'm teaching music there. So, and doing my best to uphold the tradition.
I am well aware. But thank you very, very much.
Steve, you're always welcome. Thanks so much for calling in. It's always a treat to hear from you.
Have a wonderful event next week, and I look forward to being back 2 weeks. Yes, that trial isn't starting yet, so I will look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks.
Sounds wonderful. Great. Take we look care. Forward to it. Thank you, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So that was Steve in New York. I was telling JT when Steve was reading, and I realized this was entirely unintentional. It just happened. If you recognized similarities between Steve's reading style and mine, it's because I subconsciously totally jacked Steve's reading style and started doing it.
You do. And it's fine because it works, especially when you're doing the cold read like you do.
Right. But, I mean, man, just one of the coolest readers that we have. You know, in an accent I can pull off without sounding like I'm trying to be like Madonna, who was pretending to be British, you
Wait.
Know?
What?
I love Titus's reading too,
British?
But I can't pull that off.
No, not quite in the same.
Not with a straight face.
True.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd have to be cut and edited and
that's true.
Parsed out a few times.
My editing's not that. The amount of editing you have to do with me is
not
that
bad.
Okay. It can be though.
Yeah.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we only had 4 callers. Do you want to just try to see if Diane can do it again? Do you want to try real quick?
Yeah, if she is
Diane,
there.
If you're there, we're going to give it just a few. We're going to give it no more than, you know, 45 seconds or so. But we'll see. We'll see if she can make it work. In the meantime, though.
Yes.
So let's talk about Posick Fest. Okay. Because
yes.
we've talked a little bit about this. There's 2 big things actually happen next week. We have Posick Fest and we have the anthology. Diane's going to be on live, but
yeah.
Hello, Diane.
Hello.
How are you?
I am okay. How are you all?
Doing well. Now, did I read that you're on a train right now? Is that what's going on?
No,
No, I do not know what exactly was going on. I had a bunch of windows open. I'm calling you on my Skype.
Okay.
So I think part of my problem is that I wind up having like too many internet things open and such.
That could be it.
I don't know. I really don't know because I haven't had any. I've had other problems before, but not this problem.
Well, Skype's been, you know, I do a bunch of meetings and things during the week over Skype, and I've been having issues with it too. So.
Oh, okay. So that might be what it is.
That could be it. Okay. Well, let's just I'm going to shut up. Let's take advantage of what we have right now, and let's try to get through it, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Find out what happened to this poor little old lady.
That's right.
Okay, I'll start at the beginning.
Sounds good. It's a great place to start.
All right. She cannot even whisper anymore. Her throat has gone so dry. The only noise she makes sounds like the rattle of old paper left on a dusty shelf, which holds a piece of abandoned bric-a-brac not pretty enough to sell at a jumble sale. She likes to draw pretty letters and fleur-de-lis, with heavy punctuation, anything to try the lack of words of verbiage of becoming. She stopped becoming a long time ago. It just took a while for the tape to rewind, long enough for her to forget she had stopped like an old-fashioned wristwatch someone forgot to wind. She holds the pen just so, uses the other hand to shield the paper. She falls asleep easily, but when anyone approaches, she starts awake and the sound of the pen scratching against paper starts up. She sits in the sunlight in the garden, small, regal, a hat perched atop piled hair. When I visit, she smiles and notes as if she remembers who I am or who I was, but any attempt at physicality beyond a handshake is a mistake. Her world is small and lonely, but even this is beyond her. Visitor's Day, the mother who does not know me, the child mortgaged for $800 a day.
Now, Diane, I do want to tell you, we had about 2 seconds of interference there right towards the end. I know, right? I know, but it wasn't enough for us to stop it.
This poem is cursed.
I don't think it's that. I think it's Skype somehow is cursed. Ugh.
Okay, next time I'm actually going to try calling in on my telephone.
But Skype is supposed to sound really solid. I mean, I would expect a more...
I have a little problem with my smartphone. I don't know what it is, but I'm always disconnecting calls on it.
Huh.
So I thought it would be handier if I used my Skype and my little headset when I call y'all.
We usually prefer Skype. We usually do.
I know. And here I've had nothing but problems tonight.
Well, it's frustrating. We heard most of it. I mean, I think maybe for two lines. We probably didn't hear two lines, but the rest of it we heard.
If not,
you want
just
me
a
to
few
start
words.
Over again? I'm not going to do it.
You know, I'm just trying to figure. But I think you know we're maybe if we put all the calls together, we could get the full piece. No, I'm Diane, thanks so much for everything.
I'm going to write a poem about this.
You might as well. Why not?
I will.
Yeah.
I'll call it Skyped Again.
That's Skyped Again.
I'll miss you all next week, but you all have a lovely evening, okay?
Hey, you
Thank
as well.
You too. Thank you.
We'll talk to you then. All right. Goodbye. That was Diane from Florida, the Mitten State.
I think you're getting your shapes confused.
Really? I always had a problem with that in preschool, too. I had a preschool girl tell me she was going to put me in timeout. Or no, her mom was going to put me in timeout.
Oh, she told you her mom.
Yeah, well, I put two other little boys in timeout because they weren't listening and sitting crisscross applesauce.
Right.
As they're supposed to.
Yes.
And she looks at me and she's sitting fine and points to me and she goes, "My mom's going to put you in timeout." To which my response was, I was an adult. I was a teacher. I told her my mother was going to put her mother in timeout.
Oh.
And I just wanted to see how far she was willing to go, and she stopped right after that. So
the one-up thing.
Obviously, she hasn't played this game before. Take that, four-year-old. All right, so.
Challenging a four-year-old. Interesting.
Hey, man, if you can't handle a four-year-old, you can't handle everybody else. I got to express my dominance any way possible. All right, so that was the second segment. Now, even though we had Diane there, we're kind of including her into the first segment. Okay, because without Diane, the first segment would have tripped the return engagement. But this only had four actual callers. So this is going to trigger The return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. You know, JT, that was fantastic, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
So he took that recording from a couple weeks ago and just set it as a sound effect, so I don't even have to do the weird thing now.
We don't have to strain our singing vocal cords.
Just getting more and more relaxed here, man. I might start a...
Just kicking it back. I mean, look, they're already calling in.
That's going to be like Perry Como.
When were we going to do that discussion?
Yeah, before the return engagement. So it's not the return engagement yet.
I'm like, why did I hit the button?
Well,
I'm so sorry, callers.
Yeah, okay, so that was totally, I think we just got excited here. So we're going to do the roundtable discussion. We'll actually do it right now.
Yeah, okay.
So let's just, we don't even have any intro music for this or anything, do we? Okay,
no.
We don't need it. I think it's a little pretentious.
Wait, hang on. Ready?
Okay. We can all right. Round table. Yeah. Okay. So
there's
that's the best sound effect for a writer's round table.
All right.
I say that's pretty fantastic. Okay, so what we wanted to talk about this week is the necessity for turning off your phone.
Okay.
Turning off, in many ways, your computer or the internet.
Okay.
And focusing on your work. And I think this is something that plagues not just artists, not just poets, but almost everybody.
Yes.
We're in an increasingly distracted world. We all know this. There's nothing new there. So what are some things that that you can do to cut down on the noise in your life? JT, have you experimented with this? I know that I'm a little bit more hardcore about this than you are.
Well, yeah, and that's because you're in a different, for me, you're in a different medium than I am.
True.
Or that I would use. But my creative process is I will typically listen to either classical or trance, where it's non-vocal. So ambient, but... those kind of softer trance tracks, only because they open up that space where classical would you know, activate your mind to relax and enjoy. So I'll typically listen to those. That'll be about my only distraction to really focus down. And that's sheer background noise because I have a very distractive personality.
I'm just like,
oh, look, a butterfly, and then I'm off to the races.
That's really how I am, too. And I think it's interesting you're talking about the classical or trance music. Mm-hmm. That's something I have heard mentioned by a ton of programmers.
Oh, okay.
That what they'll do is they'll wear the tinted glasses so their eyes don't get tired, right? So amber tinted or kind of yellowish to block out the blue spectrum light.
Yep.
And then they'll just play classical or trance music specifically over and over and over again. Usually one track. And that's one thing that I learned. I can't do the Pandora thing. I can't do any of it. So here's what I do when I'm writing on a computer. I turn the internet off.
Okay.
I'm so distractible. In fact, it actually gets so bad sometimes I cannot use a computer because I'll have the internet turned off and I'll still find things on the computer to do. I won't notice it until 3 hours later. I'm like, oh, I've been doing this for 2.5 hours. Like, it's really that bad. So I have to go, you know, literally take the stuff I'm writing with, sit down, and not even then I have to refuse to go, like, flip a few pages back and start working on something else.
Okay.
I mean, it's really difficult sometimes. So one of the things that I end up doing is I make a point of meditating every day. And for me, the reason that's important is that it's a pause button.
Okay.
When you wake up, your brain's just going and you're stumbling from one thing to another and there's stresses and this and this and this. Meditation for me is a actual decision, right? It's an actual it's the first mental decision of the day.
Okay.
Right? So that you start the day with the discipline of waking up early and meditating for me. Then when you're writing, you actually set a ritual that you know will get you focused. So if I do listen to music, I will listen to something that I know because if I listen to something new, the musician part of my mind is pulling it apart and not learning it. And yeah. even though I might be focused on something else, I'm always, you know, 20 to 30% distracted.
Right.
So so I either use music, although recently I've noticed that I can write so much better when I turn it off. If I'm writing to silence, I can do it.
Okay.
I love writing to music. I just don't think it's as effective. Because then I'll get caught up in building the perfect playlist and blah, blah. So I really have to, like, my phone goes upstairs. The computer's turned off. And I set aside time every day, usually in the quiet hours of the morning where no one else is around, to work. The other issue is with me keeping that schedule. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or anybody in the chat room has. I have noticed that people who don't prize writing or don't focus on writing the same way or doing some sort of creative output,
right?
They get angry at you when you are cutting that time out because it's pretty self-important. It's pretty self-absorbed. Let's be honest.
Yes. Yeah, you know? because you're taking time for yourself to do a thing.
Right. And you do it consistently. Yeah. And when you are religious, you will not stop.
Yeah.
It makes people angry. Mm-hmm. And at first they try to, like, you know, I've had people do this. I've had girls get angry at me because I'm like, I got to work. I'm sorry. I'm working. Like, what? You could push it off till tomorrow. No, I cannot push it off until tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
It's one of those things where, because I know if I push it off till tomorrow, it'll be the next day and the next day and the next day.
Yeah. Why do today what you can push off till tomorrow? Right. I mean, that's used to be my, that's kind of a big motto for me. Unfortunately, it's not a good one.
it's for a lot of people, though.
It is. The procrastination was almost my middle name. Growing
instead of
up.
JT, it would have been JP.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
John Procrastination Gunter. yeah.
Highly inefficient, Gunter.
Yeah, it was interesting. I took forever to do a thing, and then if I took out the distractions,
yeah,
and just did it, it'd be gone. It'd be done. So that's why I'll tend to pop in, like you said, a piece that you already know.
Yeah.
At the very minimum.
Do you loop it or do you?
I will have already probably picked out a CD, usually a CD, that I have listened to at least 100 times.
Yeah.
So that it's just background music.
Yeah.
It's just background noise.
Yeah.
So that I can just work if it's, depending on what I'm doing, if it's got vocals and I don't have to write anything or anything, I'm good. I can just do it, sing along, and move. But if it's anything where I have to write down, it's definitely a classical piece where no vocals.
See, and that makes sense. I think that's a big thing. No vocals. The other thing that I'm really working on here too, is that, you know, I set up a, you know, a work schedule, and I approach it as work. That's very important. Mm-hmm. However, I'm also trying to keep the attitude of this is fun, right? I want it to be a joy to write. And I read a book where they interviewed a bunch of successful screenwriters about their different habits. And it was, you know, it was pretty self-indulgent, as those books are sometimes, where the, you know, person's acting like it is, you know, a God-given gift. And it's like, yeah, you're a professor of screenwriting. Of course you're going to act like that. But one of the people that they interviewed was Ron Bass, who's written a bunch of movies and is a very strange writer, the way he goes about things.
Okay.
But one of the things he mentions is that he loves writing so much that it's so exciting for him to do every single day that he would do it whether he was paid or not paid. He would get up at 3 a.m. and go to bed at 1 a.m. if he had to. He loves doing it so much. And, yeah, it might be a little bit of Hollywood hyperbole there. Let's be honest. But what a cool thing to kind of just take in to your psyche and just kind of play around with. What if you just found yourself enjoying your work so much that it was play also? And maybe you don't have to have a schedule, kind of like how Barbara said. But I think, you know, if you're going to be just a poet, I think you can just do it when inspiration strikes.
Yeah.
And maybe, Barbara, you're a little bit different on this, but Neil Gaiman saying, if you don't sit down to write every day, You might be a great poet, but you'll never be a novelist. And I think, at least for me, the discipline of sitting down every day and writing something, whether it's good or bad, I can fix it later, is worthwhile. But I think that's all predicated on shutting the world up. And one book I would definitely recommend, or two books actually, that people should look into, Deep Work by Cal Newport, talks very much about this.
Okay.
And the other one, which is one of my favorites about creativity, is Daily Rituals. And I don't remember the name of the author, but it's How Artists Work. So Daily Rituals, How Artists Work, I believe is the title. Those two are wonderful pieces. Any thoughts? Any other thoughts?
No, the other only other idea is to help with the removal of the distractions is you need to find a space for you to do your thing.
True.
And that way it's not like, well, I can do it while I'm doing the laundry. You know, that kind of thing. It's more of set aside a space if you can. Or as to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And you know, and I see Barbara saying this in here, you know, that we all have our different styles and all of that here. And I agree, except I don't agree with saying that I'm not right. We all have our different styles, because that means I'm right and you could be right and anybody else could be right as long as the words get on the page, right?
Oh, all right.
Yeah. See how that goes? All right. So, Barbara, I agree with you and raise you one. All right. So, let's just, do you want to go to the return engagement?
Sure.
Do you want to play the music now?
Do you want me to, what do you mean?
Not the music, the announcement for the return engagement.
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 Yeah.
All right. So, return engagement. That means anybody can call. Give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That number again, 720-240-9766.
Or World Poetry Open Mic, Skype ID. Hello. Welcome. Trying to do a Skype.
Never mind.
All right. We're in.
I love that line.
Yeah, that's a great line. All right. We're back in the return engagement. That means... We have how many callers do we have lined up?
Oh, I'm sorry, it slid down. We have six callers.
We have six callers, and you know what? Normally, I would read a submission here, but we don't have another one. So you know what? Instead of just finding another, I did the Oscar Wilde one. Let's just jump right in. You okay with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Let's just get it moving here.
Okay.
So we're gonna go back to the authentic Mitten State, not like those posers in Florida. Dennis in Michigan, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. I'm back for the return engagement.
All right. All right, Dennis. All right. What do you got for us?
Since we have a New York lawyer monitoring our show tonight, thank you, Stephen. And I think I better read this disclaimer poem before I come to Posing Fest.
Okay.
The title of the poem is Yellow Brick Salesman. It starts like this. I never thought myself a poet true, a word manipulator. Yes, that's me. I'd twist my words and make them all seem new, as I would follow forms, do recipes. I'd like the praise I garner for my work, and let friends think more highly than they ought. I built a reputation. It was a perk, or it was admiration that I sought. I have respect from poets round the globe. They come and seek my counsel and advice. Ignore the little guy behind the curtain robe, and let my wizard ways your soul entice. I hide behind the radio mic of illusion, letting people draw their own conclusion. The end.
I really like that. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to hang out with you and see you perform live and everything next week. That's going to be great.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I'll be in touch with you tomorrow. I literally couldn't make phone calls. I apologize. I couldn't hear anything. So
I understand, and my heart goes out to you, and I'd send an ear to you if I could.
All right. Well, you know what? Hey, I'm trying to not have to do an ear transplant, so that's my goal.
That's a good goal. Good goal.
Everything will be ready to go by next week. We'll be great.
Yeah, we wish you the very best and quick healing.
Hey, thank you.
And looking forward to seeing you soon, and I'm going to step aside and say God bless.
God bless, Dennis. Thank you. Looking forward to seeing you. All right. That was Dennis from the Michigan State.
The Michigan?
The Michigan State.
Okay. That,
well, hey, if there, it's like you couldn't say, you know, Kentucky's the Michigan State. Although,
okay, I'm sorry. You have a point there. You definitely cannot say that Kentucky is the Michigan State.
No, but you want to know an interesting fact about Kentucky?
Yeah.
All right. Martin Van Buren Bates was a captain from the 7th Kentucky Cavalry. He was so tall.
Yeah. How tall 7'2". Was he? 7'2".
That his feet were said to drag on the ground when he sat in the saddle. After the war, this is weird, actually. After the war, he achieved the nearly impossible. He met and married a woman even taller than himself.
Wow.
Do you think when they got engaged, Philip, do you think that anybody saw that coming?
I just am being thankful for pituitary problems. I mean, it's astounding.
Yeah, it's really one of those things where, yeah, I mean, you would think that if a couple shows up and they're that tall, if you were like a landlord or something, you'd open the door and be like, what is this? Did a circus come to town or something?
Right.
Anyway.
I appreciate it. You have distracted me twice from saying orange Jell-O. You know, I was waiting for the moment, and you just feed me with these facts and interesting stories that I don't know anything about with regard to Kentucky. So I appreciate that, and I hope it comes in handy if I ever play like Trivial Pursuit or something. Or
you know, it's one of those things where these are all the facts that you'll hear, and then one day your life will be on the line, and the person will say, "Where was the enamel bathtub invented?" And you'll go, "Kentucky." Thanks, World Poetry Open Mic.
Absolutely, right? What is your favorite color? You know?
No, wait.
All right, yes. All right. So what do you have for us?
I have perhaps the results of my own process. I appreciate the roundtable discussion. And I finished this one today, and I don't know how it'll read, but I will brave the chance to do so.
All right.
This one's called Discriminations Redressed as Preferences. Here we go. Men are verbs searching for certain nouns. Women resemble sequences of silk adjectives draped intricately across allure and heady secrets. Neither are terribly interesting, at least not categorically, and reducing them to caricature, though mildly amusing when softening hard-edged hangovers, risks nothing but wry humor and clever revelations about my own imbecility. Prefer being lost in others who pose questions without answers. Call it navel-gazing with pejorative disdain, just another way to waste time, but what else can I do if not ponder distant horizons that defeat my journey? 1,000 steps as one, or 1,000 in one tandem step. Declaratives as such are not profound, but maybe so when and if in good companionship, irrespective of their masculine or feminine embodiment. There it is, fellers.
Great again, Philip. Thanks so much, man.
I know. Thank you. You make me blush and smile, and I hope you guys really enjoy the Posick Fest next Friday, is it?
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday.
Okay, yeah, so you got to get all revved up for that. And are you guys going to post anything on either YouTube or Facebook?
Of course, man. So here's the deal. You can go to either posickfest.com, or you can just click the listen link you click to go listen to this show. and you'll be able to hear the entire thing as it's happening live.
All right.
And then we'll post the MP3 of it like we did last year.
All right. Yeah, that's wonderful. I look forward to it, and I'll be there then.
Awesome. Well, see, I think it'll be cool because we'll be doing some, you know, when we have breaks, I'll be jumping on the mic and addressing the listeners directly, and it'll be just a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a great time.
It sounds like it. And thank you too for your rendition of Gigolo. That had me chuckling, sir.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. That actually came from a really bad. A really bad attempt to do the Ricardo Montalban voice.
you nailed it as far as I'm concerned. So.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. You guys have a good evening, and cheers to both of you.
Thank you, sir.
Cheers. Thank you. Now, I would like to do a favor for Steve. Now, if I could. He said, he asked me to do a favor, and of course, we always do favors here on Fantasy Island. I just want to say, I have put my pants back on, because inside my pants, they are lined with rich Corinthian leather.
Wow.
There you go. All right.
Wow. All right.
I have a feeling he's not going to be impressed either way, but that's okay. Hey, let's go to Barbara in Connecticut. Oh, wait, did we miss Diane?
Diane, it dropped again.
Oh, Diane. Okay, hey, Barbara, sorry about that. That was a terrible intro because we got distracted. We saw a squirrel run through the studio or something. Barbara?
All right, wow. All right. I have a feeling he's not going to be impressed either way, but that's okay.
Oh, there's a leg.
There's a huge leg. Barbara?
Hey, now?
Did we miss Diane?
Oh.
Again.
Oh, no.
Okay, hey, Barbara, sorry about that. That was a terrible intro. We got this.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm so bad for Diane tonight.
I know. I do have to say, though, I feel bad for Diane, but that last few moments, hearing us talk, because you were about 5 seconds behind. So hearing us talk and then hearing your response, it was a little bit like the Truman Show, Barbara, I have to tell you.
Oh, no. I wasn't ready. No, I'm ready.
Oh, okay.
All
right.
I'm ready because, you know, I didn't want to waste any time.
I appreciate it.
And Diane's poem about being so empathetic reminded me that I wrote a poem about empathy. So I wrote it for the April Poem of Day, I think.
Okay.
So maybe I wrote it for some other reason. But anyway, it's called Empathy. How I can see inside of you to the inner core and find the real person inside. Your face is stone, empty of your thoughts. You seem to be a blank stare, and yet there are feelings inside of you that have been forced into a black hole deep in your heart where you have kept them hidden from the outside world. These are mean and raw and full of pain, as your life seems to be every day. Yet I can see into you as if I had supervision, and I know you to be a much different person than you appear to the world. My emotions merge with yours, and I take on your pain as if I were shouldering a heavy load, holding it for a while so you can examine it and maybe sift through the memories for one that will ease the suffering you feel now. You are lost and wandering in a tunnel of despair, and I am your shining light, a beacon to raise you to the surface, where the pain can dissipate and dissolve with the force of my kindness. I will bathe you in the shower of loving care you deserve and wash away all of the sorrow you feel. If only you would open those closed chambers of your heart and let it all out so I can be your sponge and you can walk with a free and lighter spirit into the world. End poem.
Wow. That was really powerful, Barbara.
Thank you. That's how I feel about people. That's me.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, I don't like to fight with anyone.
You know, I agree with that, actually. It might surprise people, but I don't actually like to fight with anyone.
I don't either. I'm a great arguer. And
yeah.
Man, I don't like it.
I think the big thing is we'll call people out when something strange is going on.
Yeah.
And we're not combative about calling them out, because we try to we'll say it because we're trying to be diplomatic about it. But man, we sure don't like I don't like fighting with people. That's a what a waste of emotional energy. That's why you hire people like Steve, right? I'm not kidding. That's actually the truth. Yeah.
No, lawyers are the worst. I'll just say lawyers.
He just gave you this great compliment. Now,
no. They love to argue. You don't want to get involved with a lawyer unless you're ready to argue.
Unless, well, either that or unless the lawyer's on your side. That's the caveat.
Yeah, the lawyer's on your side, but they still like to take the other side because they love to argue.
That's true. And to quote Steve, which I just love, I have to read
lawyer it. It is. Stephen is feeling the pain, but really, it's more like they love to just argue. That's what they do for a living.
That is true. You know,
and they do it automatically.
I'm loving this because you just do the poem about how you don't like to fight or anything, and you're like, but lawyers.
Lawyers are a whole different breed, I have to tell you.
Well, and to quote, and to quote Steve, at two, Babs. Barbara, I loved it. Thank you so much for that, and we'll miss you next week. All right. Feel better, okay? Feel better.
Happy birthday, Michael. I know I put it on the wall, but can I say one thing also?
Sure.
Hello?
Of course. Of course you can.
Oh, okay. My book, my poetry book.
Yeah.
You'll Probably Forget Me, Living With and Without Hal, is coming out next week, so...
Barbara, will you send us a link to it? We're not going to sell it on our store. We'll provide a link to it under Featured Poets. Okay, we'd love to do that for you. So send me an email.
Cool. As soon as it's done, I'm going to be having my my launch on the September 24th, and I'll be inviting everyone. So
beautiful.
Okay.
Okay. Wonderful. Then
talk to you later. Then
all right. Best of luck on the book launch. We'll talk later.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Bye. And good luck with Poesic Fest.
Hey, thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara in Connecticut. Steve, that was rough, man.
Oh, you know, I did see Diane trying to call in.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well,
you try and pull her in now.
Diane, do you want to try to call again? I mean, I can kind of do a. Dun, dun, dun. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime guest. She's not calling in.
Okay. Wow, that was just a real quick. No, it's fair.
All right. Well, hey, we can try a little bit later. That's
yeah,
okay.
That's right.
All right. Let's try going to Jim.
I'm going to make people go. Huh? Things are going.
Jim, are you there? Are we interrupting something?
Oh, yeah.
That's all right.
Yep. I'm here. Yoda has left the building. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
Okay. He'll be back tomorrow.
So what do you have for us?
So, this, I can honestly say, is the very first poem I wrote. My freshman year in high school. And unfortunately, after I graduated, I misplaced the only copy I had. And then back in 2009, I remembered what I wrote, what I had written, so I copied it down again.
Good.
Okay, it's After a Storm, Spring 1987. Rain clouds retreating in the distance, leaving the world outside my window, peaceful in its wake. And I wonder, is this what it was like in London when the dust settled after the final German rocket fell? End of poem.
Laying down another solid one.
Yep.
All right. Thanks a lot, James.
Well, when I was in high school, I'd written a few of them.
Yeah.
And a lot of them was like, what was I thinking? I actually did this one. They were just like total nonsense. And I have no idea where any of those poems are, but it was like maybe 98. Around 98, I started writing poetry in earnest. That was my very first poem.
Oh, really? That's great.
Wow. Yeah, not bad for a high school freshman.
Yeah, true. Absolutely not. Well, hey, James, it was great, man. We're looking forward to, are you going to be listening to Posick Fest all? Are you going to be able to next week?
Is it going to be streaming live or?
Absolutely. Or it'll be streaming live next Saturday. Yeah.
Okay. I will try. Will it be through Mixler or on YouTube?
Yeah. No, it'll be through the Mixler. Same platform we're going through right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So see if you can. I mean, it'll be a longer show, so drop in, you know, have a cup of tea with us or whatever, and then you take off and do what you got to do. But just letting you know, it'll be there. We'd love to have you listen in and get your opinion afterwards.
All right. What time does it start?
You know, let's see. It starts at, where you are, I guess it's going to be, 6 p.m.?
Yeah.
And then it'll probably run until
about midnight.
About midnight or 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay. At least listen to part of it. It depends on, if I have to, if they require me to come into work the next day or something.
For sure.
It happens because I work at a place that, ASK, that they make salads and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, we send out to different grocery stores. So, depending on I'm in the distribution side, so it's depending if we still have a lot of product to get out to the stores. It depends that would determine if we have to work on the weekends.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully you can, but if not, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah.
Yeah, will you be archiving it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That would be great because it definitely would listen to it.
Okay.
A second time or the first time, depending on what happens.
Sure, sounds good. Well, either way, James, we appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for everything you do.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, of course.
Good night.
Good night. So, I honestly had this thing as he was talking about sending these salads out and everything like that. I had this quick image in my head of this older man sitting in an office, the sleeves rolled up and his tie is there, but it's still, pulled down a little bit around his neck. And he gets on the phone. It's a red phone. James answers and he goes, "James, damn it! People need their salads." And it's nothing about the job itself, for sure. I get it. I understand that whole thing. Yeah. I've been in jobs like that. it is serious.
Yeah.
It is actually really serious.
Yeah.
When you step back and you look at it later on, you kind of go, wow, we really were serious about those salads, weren't we? All right. So let's go all the way from PA to the heart of darkness.
All right.
So, to Steve.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, sir?
Well, I was doing fine until Barbara stuck a knife in my back.
That was a little Shakespearean of her, wasn't it?
And if you believe me, am I not a prick? or something like that.
I thought there was a little bit. It was kind of like Brutus and Lady Macbeth and everything all rolled into one.
She went fully Shakespeare all over me.
She did, didn't she?
Thank God the senior member of the Weepholm law firm, Brother Dennis, is already drafting papers on my behalf.
Wonderful.
Although I should warn you that the show is a defendant, as you contributed to this emotional distress I'm suffering.
All right.
Another lawsuit.
A day without litigation is like a day without sunshine.
Quotes the lawyer.
Wow. Yes. Quotes the lawyer. Nevermore.
Why can't we? JT, we need a lawyer to do that. That's fantastic.
All right.
Steve, what do you have for us?
You're getting punchy, and with you, it's still evening.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Happy Saturday from the East Coast, by the way.
Oh.
Thank you for what has been a really wonderful show, and I have to echo Dennis's sentiments. The roundtable was very, very good.
Wonderful.
Nicely done.
Thank you very much.
If I may, this is a newish piece that I've been working on for a while, and I'm still not sure if I like it completely, but it's important this weekend.
All right.
The piece is entitled Shadows of the Empty Sky. Okay. We live in the shadow of the empty sky, where the
absence defines all space, where the sun shines only darkness and the morning unmasks the loss, not burning off to gentle dew, but merely sending spirits home. We live in the shadow of the empty sky, the pale of passions spread across us, a smothering shroud of sadness, the survivor's shame-faced silence, the ruinous remembrance remembered slowly saps the soul. We live in the shadow of the empty sky, both reminder and remainder of that unnamed day, last lost time of innocence and normalcy, the morning's moment of madness that set all our madness free, the unnamed victims, the millions of unnamed lost. End.
That was, I know you said you weren't sure if you liked it. I thought that was absolutely stunning.
Yeah. Beautiful piece.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wonderful work.
It's for those of us in New York, the last 15 years have been defined by that Monday morning, or Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning, yeah.
Yeah.
And if I might digress for half a moment, the night of September 10th, I left my office early because I was judging a moot court competition at my law school. And I was supposed to be at an EEOC hearing in the towers on the 11th, but at about 2 minutes to five, I got a phone call from my adversary advising me that his client was ill and he was able to obtain an adjournment from the EEOC.
Oh, my goodness.
And the night of the 10th, I went downtown and after the moot court, got my car and looped around to get on the West Side Highway and saw the two towers. And I had always thought of them as ugly buildings, sort of like the packing crates for the Chrysler Building in the Empire State.
Yep.
But I remember that evening thinking how beautiful they looked. And that memory will never leave me. And all of us here have lived the rest of our lives in the shadows of that moment in a way that I don't think the rest of the country can understand.
I don't think they
as
can.
As much as they sympathize and empathize, I think it's difficult.
It's one of those things where, you know, I was here in Denver when it happened, and was, you know, even though I had so many connections to the place and, you know, was to New York City, being here and watching how things happened, it was so removed. And yes, we do empathize, and everybody felt it, and everybody felt it in a very real way, but you don't feel it the same way as when it's there. Like you said, you know, you're under the shadow of empty skies.
You know what? It's been a wonderful evening. There's no need for me to bring up bad memories. Thank you very much for your kind words, earned or unearned. I appreciate it. And thank you again for everything you do. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful time next week at the festival.
We will, and you know, we'll be missing you there. But once again, happy belated birthday, Steve. And we're so happy you joined us.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Take care. And that was Steve from New York. Especially knowing what this weekend is.
Yeah.
What a great way to end this.
Yeah.
Everybody, I have to say thank you so much for this show. JT and I really appreciate you calling and being such a part of our lives. And please let some other people know. Now, once again, if you want to know who our Poet of the Month is, sign up on our email list. You can get there by going to World Poetry Open Mic. You'd see a little prompt pop up. Or there's, I think there should be something around there somewhere where you can sign up. I'll double check. If there's not, I'll put one up. But in the meantime, just send us an email, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, and say, add me to the list, and it'll be done. And then next weekend, I think it'll probably be Sunday.
Okay.
We'll send out an email to everybody and tell you who our Poet of the Month is. And that gives you a week. Should you decide you want to read something of theirs to, you know, on the last show of the month, cool. If not, that's fine too. But it'll kind of be fun. So that all aside, we're going to be doing Posick next week, so we won't be hearing you on Friday. We'll be tearing up the town with Cynthia and Dennis, as
that's
you know.
Right.
As you know, only a bunch of poets can do. And it's going to be a great time. So we hope you enjoy listening to Posick.